Ryan Morrow, Clarion Projects Stillman Fellow, and National Security Analyst. And Ryan discusses the raid on an Islamic extremist compound in New Mexico near the Colorado border that rescued 11 malnourished children. Local law enforcement authorities defied the FBI, which had been watching the heavily armed compound for quite a while, but put off going in to rescue the kids after they received a message that the children were starving. And this is the reason I am so happy to have him back again, Ryan Morrow. Ryan, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you're back, and thank God. I'll tell you, you have done a tremendous job. And the first thing that I thought of when I knew you were coming and I saw that the FBI was there, but they didn't do much. Why didn't they do something?
Well, basically what happened was that the one of the male members of the compound had kidnapped his kid, for his own kid, and then the birth mother called the police, and he ended up with that child at this compound. And so the FBI's main focus at that point was getting the proof that that missing boy was there. They knew the fugitive was there, or at least had strong suspicions. But I guess that was how they were going to go about probable cause, because the guns they believed were legally obtained. They were on a plot of land that one of the compound members had purchased, and then they built it over onto a neighbor's land. The original piece of land they had purchased, and so the FBI just kept saying that they didn't have probable cause. They were trying to have some type of recording and have a sighting of the missing boy in order to get the probable cause. But they were seeing this compound get erected in a tactical formation to prepare for a battle all those months.
You know, Ryan, I've got to ask you, how do you, when you go into a story, okay, and this has happened because you've been with me before, when you go into a story, you go in like you're going to finish it right off, and that's what you did again this time. But some people were wondering about the FBI and how come, and you have just explained it. But how many groups, Islamic extremist groups, do you believe that there are? I know that you know there are more than those that were just rescued, but are they at different spots all over the country?
Oh, for sure. I would say that there's, virtually every major terrorist group has a presence within the United States. There's no doubt about that. But there's a massive infrastructure beneath the violent operatives that is radical but nonviolent, and then ends up funding the violent actors or proliferates the ideology that creates the violent actors. So say you arrest a member of ISIS or a member of Al-Qaeda within the United States, that's what will get the media coverage. But you look into the background, and what you'll find is that they're attending a Muslim Brotherhood or Hamas-linked mosque. Or you'll find that they were listening to the sermons of a radical cleric because it was recommended by another friend within the United States. So there's all these people who don't get arrested because their activity is legal, and so they don't get a lot of scrutiny, and in fact they are embraced sometimes at the highest level of government, and they push these radical themes that then the violent actors act upon, and what you hear about is the violent actor. You don't hear about whoever created the infrastructure for all that to happen.
Well, Ryan, I'll tell you something right now, right up front. This is the reason that I try to get you as often, you're busy, but as often as I can when I hear something like this, because I have the gut feeling that this has been going on and that we're not hearing everything. And one thing you do, you get everything. And you just said
Thank
so.
You. Yeah, thank you. And in regards to the compound issue, the research, and I've provided some intelligence to the authorities to assist with what's going on with the investigation into the compound. There does appear to be influence coming from another group. So this one camp kind of went off and did their own thing. They're really wacko cults. But some of the original ideas came from, on the one hand, the Muslim Brotherhood type network and their paramilitary services through a radical imam in New York. And then that was married with influence from another radical group in the United States that's known for setting up compounds, dozens of acres large, and engaging in guerrilla, real basic guerrilla warfare type training. And so those two influences acted essentially as the factories that created this compound. They weren't connected. They weren't overseeing it. But those original ideas and skills were put to use by these people at the compound who then went off on their own way. And so we arrested them. But again, until we dismantle that underlying jihad factory, you're just going to keep seeing it happening again and again.
Well, Ryan, I'll tell you, this is the reason you get calls from me. I'll tell you right now, because I know it goes on, because I hear it from you, and I just want the folks that listen to this radio program to understand that this is happening all the time here in the United States of America, and we don't hear it from the regular news people. They don't talk about what you just talked about, and this is what bothers me to no end.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and the only reason that the New Mexico compound got attention is because the evidence was so strong, abnormally strong. It's not normal you get this level of evidence where you actually have kids that are rescued, that are on the verge of death from not having food and water, paramilitary training going on, papers that literally say plan for a terrorist attack. It's rare you get to that level. So some people are going to say, well, look, the New Mexico compound got a lot of media coverage. Yeah, but that's like the highest standard you have to reach. And the reason that it got a lot of coverage is because also the controversies with the judge who let them out on a signature bond so they didn't have to put out money, and then they got rearrested. It just kept twisting and turning. So that's why it got a lot of media coverage. Now you have to think about how many cases exist where the evidence isn't as strong, but you know it's going on, or an arrest happens and it's just a blip on the radar, and so the American public don't see the cumulative problem. It's just they look on their news page, and then they see, oh, someone got arrested, and then they forget about it, and then it happens the next day, and then the next day, but it happens so quickly that people wouldn't realize, oh, five people were arrested this week. And their mind is, oh, some guy got arrested, and then they forget about it. But if you look at the numbers, and you look at how often people are getting arrested, and then you account for the fact that only a tiny percentage of terror suspects actually get arrested, then you see the size of the problem.
Ryan, I want to thank you so much for joining me whenever I call you, because I want my audience to know what's going on, and you absolutely tell it just like it is. Thanks a million, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
You bet. 8:30 in the morning. You see.